Let's open to, I'll get it, Ephesians chapter 5. I guess we could start Genesis, that's where it all began. But we'll go to chapter 5 of Ephesians. Again, we're going through the series on the Holy Spirit. We've looked at his ministry in the Old Testament. We've looked through quite a few things on his ministry in the New Testament. And right now we're doing the mandate of the Holy Spirit and how we must be filled with the Spirit. We need to walk with the Spirit. We need to hear the Spirit. And we're going over what the being filled with the Spirit is all about. And we are at the point now where we're talking about, as it says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, it says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, but be what? Filled with Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. And so then after that, we see in verses 19 through chapter 6 and verse 9 of Ephesians, in that context, Paul gives to the church at Ephesus and to us today, since it's the inspired word of God as he moved upon holy men of God as they were moved in the Spirit. It's not the will of man, but it's the will of God. And he moved in there to give us really the results of being filled with the Spirit. And he right immediately says your relationship with God and your singing heart. And then he talks about your relationship to others. It's almost like we could say your vertical relationship and then your what? Horizontal relationship. And we come down to verse 21 where it says, as you see in your copy of Scripture, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. In other words, that reverential fear of displeasing God is the motive for your duties. And what is that? To submit yourselves one to another. And in that context, he goes on in verse number 22 and says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Or wives, be subject to you. And there's different aspects of that. But that's what that's doing is following through. This whole thing is really carrying through that as we submit to one another, we see that it's carrying on the idea of submission. And right away, he talks about the woman. And what he does here, he goes and we're going to see the result of being Spirit-filled is how your relationship is with your spouse. I've always said, as the marriage relationships go in the church, so goes the church. But let me ask you another question. I'll just put it this way so you'll probably get this. Are we in a mess today in the world? Okay, we know the cause of that mess. We know the root of it is sin, of course. But what's one of the, well, really, I think it's one of the things of the devil. But what's one of the biggest messes we see in our society today? Exactly. It's what? It's the home, the family. The devil is going after the family. And as the marriages go, so do the churches. Why is that? Well, he tells us in chapter 5 here. And we'll get to that in a little bit. I think you already know he tells it because he compares the marriage relationship to what? To God's love for his church. God's building his church. That's how important this relationship is, and the devil knows that, and he goes after that, and he breaks up the home. He breaks it up, and he tries to reverse the what? He'll reverse the roles. He'll reverse the sexes. I mean, he'll reverse the mind. That if I think I'm a chair, you know? And he'll get that thinking and cause everyone to start thinking that if you think this way, you are what? You're a hater or are you from outer space, you know? And the problem is, it's happened, and we see that growing in America. So we've got to see that what we're finding out is really we're not seeing many marriages being filled with the Spirit. Did you know that this is the latest one that I heard, that in society, unsaved believers and unbelievers, the divorce rate is about 50%. I don't know in recent years if it's gone up or down. And that is with so many people that are living together not getting married and breaking up. But did you know what it is among our evangelical churches, our churches today? I told you what it is with the world. But do you know what it is with our churches? 50%. In fact, there's some polls that have said it's a little bit higher. I've heard that before. I'm not saying that's on a facts. I do not have the factual data on that. But I do have factual that it is half are divorced. No wonder our churches, there's nothing happening in our churches today. Because of the relationship that is between a man and a woman in their marriage. And to be Spirit-filled, to be controlled by the Spirit, it's evidenced by your relationship. And so living in the world we live in today, this section of Scripture, verses 22 through 33 of chapter 5, it illustrates whether we're really manifesting a Spirit-filled life in our relationships with our spouses. We know, of course, it's in disarray, since the devil does not want the family to succeed. And you, as believers, are striving so hard under God's grace and knowing that you can't make someone else do something, but you have to do it in the right principles, and you'll see that you are striving to do what God has, and the devil's fighting right against that. Let me read a paragraph by John MacArthur and just how he puts it. I think he puts it in a good way. Because so much of the church has long disregarded the full teaching of Scripture, many believers find some of its truths to be unfamiliar and even hard to accept. Notice what he said. Many believers find it unfamiliar and hard to accept. What's unfamiliar? Submissiveness, the principle of submissiveness, among other things. Because so much, many believers find some of the truths to be unfamiliar and even hard to accept. Why are they unfamiliar? We're not preaching it from the pulpits, teaching it in our homes. I know, you say, Pastor, get on with this quote, okay? And because the church has been so engulfed in, identified with, and victimized by worldly standards, God's standards seem out of date, irrelevant, and offensive to modern mentalities. I see it in my short life, the difference in many, many things, just in faithfulness. I'll give you an illustration. Pines, one of our ministries. When we first started, when I was here, you know, the 17 years, the first years that I was doing this, we would have people, guys from the Pines, come regularly to the Bible study where I could do like a 10-week series, and I could take it out and go through it week after week, and they would be there, and I'd give them out the books, and they would be there. Today, we're lucky to have two or three that come all the time. And even one that come all the time. We'll have the numbers, but we won't have them day after day, time after week after week after week. You see, God's standards seem out of date, irrelevant, and offensive to those modern mentalities. His way is so high and so contrary to the way of the world that it is incomprehensible to many in and out of the church. Over and over, the New Testament calls us another dimension of existence. calls us to another dimension of existence. A new way of thinking, acting, and living. That comes with that new behavior, doesn't it? Ephesians 4, 1 and 24 says, to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called, and to put on the new self, which is the likeness of God, and has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth, is to fulfill the high calling to which we are called in a completely new life, in a completely new spirit-filled way. Few areas of modern living have been so distorted and corrupted by the devil and the world and caused the church to much confusion as those of marriage and the family. Scripture makes clear that there are no spiritual or moral distinction among Christians. Understand what he's saying there. There is no distinction among who? Anybody. He goes on, and with a proof of Scripture in Galatians 3:28, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave or bond slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you're all one in what? One in Jesus Christ. There are no classifications of Christians. But in matters of role and function, God has made distinctions in the role of the husband and in the role of the wife. Now let me ask you another question. Who gives the wife and the husband their job description? God's the only one. And he gives it some of the things here in chapter 5 as a result of being controlled by the Spirit. And so what I've done, as I've mentioned to you this morning, I've broken this up in two ways. In verses 22 through 24, we see the wife's role to submit through reverence. But I want you to know, in saying that, the next thing I want you to know, not inferior, because there's no distinctions between man and woman. She is not inferior. And women have been treated very inferior at times in some places. In fact, I'm sad to say, I've seen it in religious organizations that claim they are, and I won't even, because it's sort of, they just say, you know, bless God, keep that woman in the kitchen and have her have a lot of children, and that's it. And you know what? There's so much more in Scripture that God has given. Boy, I bet you Apollos is glad for Priscilla and Aquila. A lot of teaching there. Straightened him up about some things. And so we first of all see in verses 23 through 24 the wife's role to submit through reverence, not inferior though. And then in verses 25 through 33, we see the husband's role to submit. Notice it's the woman's role to submit through reverence. And in verses 25 to 33, it's the husband's role to submit through what? Love. The woman reverence, the husband love. As the woman reveres the one God's given to her, the husband then in return loves. And it just keeps that circle. And then the woman receives that love, and you love the way God wants you to love your spouse. And so you want to revere and love and submit to that as the husband wants to submit to that love. Now, the woman, it's not inferior, and the man is not superior. So first of all, let's just look at the passage of Scripture, and that's what will tell us the most. Look at God's order in verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Submitting is simply relinquishing one's right. But it, notice it says, submit yourselves. So that has the middle voice of, has the whole idea of a voluntary submission, not a have to. So what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to want to submit, not a have to. You know there's a difference in that? A big difference. The submission is to be voluntarily respond to God's will in giving up one's independent rights to other believers in general, to an ordained authority in particular. Well, in this case, it would be the husband. The wife is not commanded to obey her husband as children obey their parents and slaves their master. A husband is to treat his wife as an equal for whom God has given him care and responsibility for provision and protection to be exercised in love. So it simply goes like this. The man and the woman that God has ordained and put you together. And what does the Bible tell us? You leave your father and mother and you cleave and you both are what? One. How can one be inferior? When you're one, one can't be inferior. You're one. And so what he does, he says, there's no inferior. There's no superior. You both are one. And God says this is how it will work the best because of sin in your life, because of sin in the world, is that woman submit, men love your wives. And they're both very high in responsibility. But boy, that responsibility, as we're going to get to the husband, to love his wife as he loves the church. Did you know that if you do that, men, your wife will revere you and love you? I'll never forget when we were at the camp in Michigan, and I would do things in town to be a testimony. I would be, I'd help coach the league in basketball and different things like that in town. I'd also join in, and I'd be in softball leagues in town. Well, the one softball league, I think, was it baseball? I don't know. But anyways, there was my wife was there and with a couple other ladies, and I don't know how the conversation got on submission. And the one guy that I really had a testimony with, that couple was funny. I don't know if it'd be an oxymoron or not, but though that couple, if you would know their two boys, you would swear that there's a Christian family bringing them up. Those boys were great kids. Polite. Yeah, I never heard a swear word out of them. Now, that wouldn't be true of probably his parents. But the dad was one of these right wing, Rush Limbaugh, maybe even to the right of Rush Limbaugh. All right? He was one that was just, and he was a man's man, big old burly athlete. I mean, he's the type of guy that I would love to get in a fight with. I mean, be on the same side. And I would just stand behind him, and I probably would just not have to raise a hand because he'd take care of it all. He was a man that was very proud, and I tried to win him to the Lord. Had a wonderful testimony. The kind of testimony we had, his father died, and he loved his father. I went and gave him a card. He looked at me and just sort of walked out. And I gave him a card. And later I went and visited him at his house and went at his house and talked to him for hours. And he's crying there. And he says, I want to let you know something. I don't cry in front of people. But I will you because I trust you. My father was living with us, and he's a very big man, and he had slipped off of his chair, and we couldn't get him up. And so he slipped right to the front of it, and we needed to get him up to the front. And I knew our caretaker, and I couldn't do it. So I called him. When I was on the phone with him, his name was Mark. His first name was Mark. I said, Mark. And before I could say the next word, he says, don't say a word. The answer is yes. A real friend will help and say yes. He says, now what? I said, I need you to come over and help me, my dad. And he came over. Again, we got on a side of Tal Bofa, and I don't even know if I helped any. We just grabbed my dad and put him back up, and he went and kissed my dad on the forehead. That's the kind of man that's in. His wife was a left-wing woman's lib. I mean, was it a funny family? And that's, I gave you that background to show you, Brenda was talking, and she was there talking with them and with other women. And they said something about submission or something like that. You submit to your husband, whatever they were saying. And my wife just turned to them and said, yes, and my husband will do anything I want. Now, that's not the reason she's done it, I hope. But when you do things the way God wants you to do it, God's results are magnificent, because those are sinners that we're talking about. And so we see that this submission, and a husband treats as an equal, for submission is voluntary and exclusive to the husband. But it's not based on respect here. It's a truth. In fact, the test is found in those things when you two you disagree on something. They'll find out, ladies, whether you really submit. When you disagree about something, find out. You'll find out real quick whether you're going to subject yourself to the man that God's given you to protect you. And notice, it says that God's design here cannot be adjusted. It's God's design. And he's established certain leadership and authority roles within the family. And submission is a humble recognition of the divine ordering. Notice it says, submit yourselves one to another. What does he say then? As unto the Lord. So you know what you're doing, ladies, when you submit to your husband? You tell me, what do you think you're doing? I've already asked her, so don't you answer, because we were talking about it. What are you doing? It says, as unto the Lord. We're doing it as you would do to the Lord. So, ladies, when you submit, when you rank under, when you subordinate yourself, what are you doing in your marriage relationship? As unto the Lord. You don't know, do you? You're obeying, okay. You're doing it from the heart. But it says, as unto the Lord. So what are you doing in essence? You are, now you can answer. Submitting to God, you're serving God. You wonder, how can I serve God? Okay, I want to live for the Lord. How can I serve him? Well, submit to your husband, first of all. That's serving God. Kids, submit to your parents. That's serving God. You want to serve God? Submit to your parents. Take care of them when they get old and decrepit. And so we realize that as a woman is subordinate to her husband, so that very action she is submitting to the Lord. The idea here is that a wife who properly submits, as one man put it, to her husband also submits to the Lord, and a wife who does not submit to her husband does not submit to the Lord, is not serving the Lord, and she does it voluntarily out of love for her husband. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1, 5, and 6. That's God's order. And notice then that organization. Notice it says in verse 22, for the husband, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Here's his organization now. The husband is the head of the wife. That's the whole reason for submission. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, let me ask you a question. As marriages are compared to God's love for the church, and he's given the church, who has he given to be the head of the church? The head of the church is who? Christ. And then in his function and roles, who is he put to oversee that economy? The But pastor, it's not too hard. Pastor, I believe as pastor congregation, you're the ones that have given the authority to pastor, but he given scripture the pastor overseer. There's others that believe it's just the eldest pastor's oversee. And with the people and with the bishops and the deacons and the other things, but he's given that pastor, that overseer. Now, since he's done that, are there different stipulations that he's given to that pastor in that church of his? Yes. Feed the flock, love them, be an example. And what else does he say about the pastor? He is to not what? He's not to lord over the people. There are churches I've been, boy, pastor said it, that's it. You cross me, you're out of here. We've had people here come to this church from other places. This was years ago. It was many, many years ago. But we had someone come here that they disagreed with something that the pastor did. They escorted the person out of the church building and claims the authority, the pastor. I once said, I was in one message, and I said to my, I was in one place one time, said to my wife, there's a lot of things that sometimes pastors do that there's a problem that week, and they're gonna preach from you at you from the pulpit in front of everybody, just not mention your name. Now, I believe if there's a problem that week and you're going through a series and it just so happens that God lit your spirit and shows you, then that's what God's doing in your life. But I'm not for, okay, I had a disagreement with so-and-so Sunday, I'm gonna preach on that. I think that's carnal. I think that's of the flesh. I believe that is lording over. And God says, don't you lord over. Don't you lord over. With that in mind, he compares the marriage relationship to the husband-wife. Do you get the parallel? The husband is to what? Not what? Lord over his wife. I'm sorry, guys, I'm not even at the husband's yet. But look at as we go, let me help you understand the distinction of this headship and submission are entirely functional and were ordained by God. As a consequence of Eve's disobedience, and let me just, I read this, it probably says it better than I could say it. So one commentary says, as a consequence of Eve's disobedience of God's command, and her failure to consult with Adam about the serpent's temptation, God told her that your desire will be for your husband and he shall rule over you. Now let's explain that a little. Your desire for your husband, here's where this comes from. The desire spoken of here is not sexual or psychological, both of which Eve had for Adam before the fall as a special created helper. That was all there before the fall. But it is the same desire spoken of in the next chapter where the identical Hebrew word is used. The term comes from the Arabic root that means to compel, to urge, impel, or to seek control over. And here's where it's used. The Lord warned Cain. Sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you. That is where... It desires to control you, but you must master it. The word control you, or it says, notice, it desires to have you. It wants to control you. What wants to control you? Sin. He's saying that to Cain, the murder of Abel. And he says, it wants to control you. He says, but you need to control it. Okay? So sin wanted to master Cain. But God commanded Cain to master sin. So in light of this close context and meaning of this word, the curse on Eve was that woman's desire would henceforth be to usurp the place of man's headship, and that he would resist that desire and would rule over her. All of this is because of that fall. So the Hebrew word here for rule is not the same as used in 1:28, where he uses it to rule over. Rather, it's represented as anew, a kind of authoritarianism that was not in God's original plan for man's headship. So what do we see? The head gives direction and the body responds. A physical body that does not respond to the direction of the head is crippled and paralyzed, spastic. There's spiritual dysfunction. And so we see that the explanation of that, there's the reason why submission is there as you rank under, so that you will be unified. That's why the Lord says, husband, you love her, because you want to rule. He sinned too, you know. And so we see, notice it says further in verse 23, for the husband is the head of wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of the body. Christ is the savior of that body. He uses the man to help and protect that woman and that wife. And he says, verse 24 then, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, notice the parallel and who he's comparing it to. As the church is subject to Christ, how should the church be subject to Christ? Should the church in its organization, in its way, should it submit to Christ? Should it do things that maybe we don't want to do? Yes. Well, that's the way it says, notice it says, so let the wives be to their own husbands. And then it says, in everything. There it goes. There's where we take things completely out of context. What do you think in its context and knowing God's character that would mean? I would suggest this, that it means everything that's like God's character, that doesn't contradict God's character. In other words, does the Bible say you obey God rather than man? Is it right for you to sin? Is it right for you as a woman to sin if your husband tells you to sin? Well, I've got to submit. May I do this again? Wrong. You obey God rather than man. And so when we think of that with being parallel and consistent with God's very character, we have to realize that when it says in everything that contains to God's character. And so, or consistent with his character. There are preferences and conscience matters. God gave us an example in the Bible where wives were not supportive in matters because they were told to sin. Submission is ultimately an attitude of reverence, first to the Lord and then to your husband. The secret of total submission is a servant's attitude. As one man said, it's twofold. Both of these are necessary, but we got to remember that Christ commended one to choose the better role. There's Martha and Mary. Was Martha's role to serve right and good? Yes. Was Mary's role right to adore and worship at that time Christ? Yes. Both of them are needed. Mary's supposed to do that. Martha's supposed to do the other. But the adoration and the thing that God honored is, listen, you can do this all the time. I'm only here for a little bit. And so we realize that submission is an attitude, a willing attitude. And we see that submission is all about sincere and godly support. Submission involves delegated authority, not personal worth. Submission involves wise support. See, ladies, wise support, Delegated authority, not personal worth. One's better than the other. Wise support, not mindless obedience. Okay, you submit to me, and someone's and you are being. I'm sorry, I forgot the word. When you're being a husband beat you. Or what are we? Abuse. Thank you. Boy, that sometimers is coming in awful, off more as this age goes. But physical abuse. Will I just take that? That wouldn't be God's character, would it? You need to get out of there. There's also such thing as physical abuse. And I've counseled men, boy, it's pretty much me Tarzan, you Jane. At the same time, many times the woman is not revering, but that doesn't count for, it's never right to do wrong, to get a chance to do right. And so we realize that submission involves wise support, not mindless obedience. Submission involves loving service, not servile compliance. Submission involves activity, not passivity. And submission is ministry, not manipulation. Have you ever heard of someone that plays second fiddle? What do we usually take that as? You're playing second fiddle. What do we usually compare that at to? Come on, wake up something. Didn't he even get a nap this afternoon? I tell you. Okay, second fiddle usually has the idea of what? Pardon me? Less important. Not admit second fiddle. You're second, he's first. That's not what the second fiddle does. You know what the second fiddle does? It brings harmony. It brings harmony. That's what the husband and wife need to do. Now, I'm not going to go with the husband because I know you don't want to be here long. And I'm just going to start, and we're going to be looking at verses 25 through 33. And you won't listen to me if I start that. But let me just, first of all, just give you the outline of what we're going to look at next time we're able to speak on a Sunday night here. So it will probably be, I guess it'll be next week. Next week, because Brother Thomas is only going to be with us in the morning. So next week, I'll finish this next week. I can finish this next week. Okay. See, now you're even feeling better. Oh, good. But we talked about the woman's role being submissive. Have you gotten the idea of what submission is about? I grew up in a day and age where my parents, that generation, would submit. The ladies would submit to their husbands, but I think in many cases, unscripturally. Even when they were trying to do it right, or were told to do it right, it was so built in them. I got a kick out of it. I don't think my mom was unscriptural in her submission, because she loved my dad and everything. But was it funny when, years after Dad had passed away, the things we saw my mom start doing? It was really funny. I mean, things that were just going, Mom. And it was just, God had taken that head away. Now it's her son, and her son still has to submit. At the same time, take care. And you know what it was? It was just hilarious in many things, in many ways. But I couldn't help to think, though, my wife and I talked about it. It was just a misunderstanding what the word submission is. And you know how there were times where I was able to come over here, over to Mom, and we talked about that. What real submission is. It is important, ladies. men submitting one to another. But as we think of the lady's role that is given to God, it is a God-ordained function for you to serve God. Don't you count that a privilege? God's ordained marriage, and he wants to fix it so it's harmony. And this is how it stays when two sinners get together. This is how it stays in harmony. And part of that is revering the one that God's given you willingly. And it sure is easier when he loves you. But don't let anyone say, well, it doesn't say the woman has to love the husband. I'm sorry, we're to love one another. And not only that, it is the responsibility of the elder ladies to teach the women, the younger ladies, to what does Timothy tell us? To love their husbands. To me, that sounds like women are supposed to love their husbands. I want you to know that this is a wonderful thing in submission, ladies, not a bad thing. This is something that God's ordained, and you have your own will. And he has to realize that. That's what we're getting into next week. He has to realize you're a person too. You have your own ideas and your will, and you have to succumb to that. In fact, we're going to see things as we compare things. We're going to pair things exactly. How does Christ love the church? That will show us how men were to love our spouse. I'm going to go through some specific things of how Christ loved the church. And he says, man, love your wife like Christ loves the church. So as Christ loved the church, I need to do the same things. And as a believer, I need to do the same things. And so let me just, as we think of the husband's role to submit through love, not being superior, let me just let you know that love can be known only from the action that it prompts. It has to do with the mind, and it's a principle which we deliberately live. It supremely has to do with the will. But the attitude of the mind and a certain direction of the will towards all men, no matter who they are, we love to be like God. No matter what a man is like, God seeks nothing but his highest good. And so as we love, what should we do? Seek for men's and our spouse's highest good. In unconquerable benevolence, invincible goodwill. It's a deliberate conviction of the mind issuing in a deliberate policy of the life. It is deliberate achievement and conquest and victory over the will. It takes only the heart, not only the heart, but the mind and the will, as we realize we love one another. And remember, love is an action verb, and it's a choice. And we'll look at that next week as a husband's role to submit through love, the woman's role to submit through reverence, revering. And if you love your wife right, she'll want to revere you. And ladies, if you revere your husband right, he's going to want to love you more and more. If he doesn't, he is a disobedient husband, because that's what naturally comes to the believer in that very command. Our dear Heavenly Father,